right. Good evening. Did you have a great time today? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you mean it from your heart? You're glad you're saved tonight. Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Don't ever get over being saved. And if you're not saved, tonight could be the greatest night of your life. Say, Mike, we're in church all the time. I've heard it. Listen to me. There needs to be a time when the Holy Spirit convicted you that you need to be saved. And you said yes to God and accepted Jesus Christ in your heart. If you haven't done that, you need to do that. If you have done it, you are blessed. And here we are at a youth conference having a ball.
Amen.
Do you understand how many children, how many young people, how many teenagers, how many adults have never experienced what you've got to experience over the last day and a half? We live in a dream world, Brother Kenny, in a good way. I mean, we've got the Word of God in our lap. We've got Jesus in our heart. We've got food in our belly. It might be flopping around from the roller coasters we were on. I get it. But what a great time. Much of the world today is just trying to find water and food to survive. And we've got way more than that. God has been good to us. God has been good to us. I'm excited to be here. Made the drive. Took a little longer than I thought, but blessed. We get to do this, and God is good. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Well, I'll tell you, your life's important. God loves you. God's working a plan, and we're going to talk about that tonight with God's help. Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. I am not my brother. You may think I look like my brother. How many of you think I look like my brother? All right. I don't like you. All right. If you just had your hand up, I don't like you at all. But, yeah, thank you. But, no, I love my brother and I appreciate our ministry and he's a great guy. I think he preaches longer than me. We'll find out. I won't preach. I hope I don't preach as long as he does. He texted me on the way down. He said, the young people may be tired from the park, so you may want to cut some of your sermon and get right to the point and give it to them. And I thought, just like you always do, right? And if you know Brother Charlie, you know what I'm talking about. But what a privilege it is to be here. Yeah, Charlie, C-H-A-L-I-E, that's it. Ready? You good? You there? Say amen if you're in Ecclesiastes 3. Amen. Here we go. Ready? Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Speak to our hearts tonight. I thank you for Brother Kenny. I thank you for all of the staff here that has worked to put this conference on. I thank you for every youth pastor, layman, worker that has brought their young people here. We thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I mean it from my heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, would you speak to our hearts tonight through your word? We will praise you, God, if you speak to us. May we say yes to everything you want us to say yes to and no to everything you want us to say no to. May every one of these young people live out your plan for their life and do with their life what you've created them to do. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you understand God just a little bit, you understand that God is doing everything for a reason. According to his purpose and according to his time. We're going to talk about time a little bit tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time. To every purpose under the heaven. Here, Ecclesiastes in his third chapter goes on to list times where we ought to do things and where we ought not to do things. But our God is a God of order. When you look at our universe, when you look at the planets, when you look at the stars, when you look at the sun and the moon and the tides and how it all works together, listen to me, God is an amazing God of order. And he's working a plan. You try to comprehend God, it's amazing and actually overwhelming. We like to learn words like omnipotent and omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing. But when you get a grasp of God just a little bit in your mind, it kind of blows your mind. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we think of eternity, and it's hard to grasp eternity, and God knows our frame. But when you start to think of time never ending, it's difficult in our humanity. But listen to me, God is an amazing God. And I know this tonight, God has everything under control And he's working a plan. Someone planned this conference. 2.5 days. I don't know if there's a handout. I don't know how you found out what the plan is. But there was someone who orchestrated the plan. You were supposed to leave your hotel room if you stayed in a hotel at some time this morning. Someone was orchestrating the plan. You were supposed to leave for King's Dominion at a particular time. You were supposed to meet and get on the bus or the van and leave at a particular time. Am I telling it right or no? Someone orchestrated a plan. I said to Brother Kenny today, I said, what time does the service start? He did not respond to me, I don't know. There's no plan. Whenever. Do you understand when we don't follow the plan, the result is chaos. The result is a messed up plan. Could you imagine if your youth group, if we still had young people on roller coasters at King's Dominion? You wouldn't have a happy youth pastor, right? And everybody just started to do whatever they... No, there was a plan, and it tells us what we're supposed to do and when we're supposed to do it. Can I tell you, in the very same way, our God has a plan. But our God has not planned out a 2.5 day youth conference. Listen to me, our God has planned out eternity. From the beginning, if you would consider a timeline, from the beginning where He created man in the Garden of Eden, straight throughout time, listen to me, God has a plan. He has a plan. And He sees the beginning from the end. Up to this point, it's been about 6,000 years. You say, that's a long time. But to our God, that's not a long time. A day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years as a day. We look and we say, we hear about Jesus coming back. Man, when's He coming? It seems like it's been forever, but not to God. God simply is looking at eternity past to eternity future, and He is in control of everything. There is a purpose and there is a plan for everything. He knows 10 years from now. He knew 2,000 years ago, and He knows 1,000 years from now. That's our God. God is working a plan. God planned, listen to me, the exact time for Jesus to be born. Can I tell you, God was not surprised when Jesus was born. There wasn't a message that came to God in heaven and they said, hey, God, guess what? You're not going to believe it. Jesus Christ was just born in Bethlehem. Oh, He was not taken by surprise. And we know that. What amazes me about this, do you understand that Jesus Christ was in heaven when the earth was created? John 1, have you memorized it or read it? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Right? And then we learn, I think it's verse 13 or 14 in that chapter, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who was that Word? That was Jesus Christ. And He was there all the way back in the beginning. But you know what's amazing about it? Though Jesus was there in the beginning, 1,000 years went by and it was not time for Jesus to come. 2,000 years went by. God, is it time for Jesus? Not yet. 3,000 years went by. Time for Jesus yet? Oh no, not yet. 4,000 years go by. And you know what the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 4? I'll read it for you. It was time. God says, yes, it is time. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says this, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, the Virgin Mary, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. His life for mine. Listen to me, God saw that from the beginning. I will send my Son, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And He waited throughout history until it was God's exact time for Jesus to come. He's working a plan. What would be the time of Jesus' life? Can I tell you, God knew that. 33 years. For 30 years, we're not going to learn much about his earthly ministry, but he's going to have about 3 years, Brother Ryman, where God, Jesus Christ is going to start doing miracles, raising the dead. And God is looking at it all. Right here, my son will be working on earth. And we know at the end of his 33 years, he would die. Turn to John chapter 12 in the Bible if you would. What type death would our Savior die? Crucifixion, is that right? He would die on a cross. We're going somewhere. Stay with me. John chapter number 12. Scripture teaches us that Jesus would die on a cross. Do you think that surprised our God? Absolutely not. And in John chapter number 12, notice what Jesus says. Verse number 27. Now is my soul troubled. He knew the cross was ahead of him. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. And then he says this. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Jesus knew as God looked at time, I have come to this earth for this hour. This is my time. This is why I'm here. This is why God has waited 4,000 years to insert me into history. I was born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. He did miracles, but it was all for the day that he would die on the cross to redeem mankind. For this hour, he came into the world. Notice also, if you would, Luke, turn back just a few pages, chapter 22. Before Jesus was nailed to the cross, we know some of the story. He would be betrayed by his own. Who was the one who would betray Jesus? Judas. Luke chapter 22, look at this, verse 47. And while he yet spake, behold a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Our Savior is amazing. He knows everything about us. Notice how Jesus responded. Remember, Judas had made the secret with the soldiers. The one I kiss is the one. Notice what Jesus said. But Jesus said unto him, before he ever did it, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them, we know it was Peter, smote the servant of the high priest, Malchus, cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer you thus far, Peter, put your sword up. And he touched his ear and healed him. Let me just say this, if you get your ear cut off, and then Jesus puts it back on your head, you may not want to try to arrest him. Just saying. But I would say this, sin makes you crazy. That boy right there should have believed. Just had your ear put back on. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him. Look what he says. Jesus says this, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? He said, guys, why the swords? Why your weapons? When I was daily with you in the temple, we just spent 3 years talking. We're in the temple together. Ye stretch forth no hand against me. But notice this. But this is your hour. Boys, you know why you didn't arrest me 3 years ago? Wasn't time. You know why you didn't arrest me 2 years ago? Wasn't time. You know why you didn't arrest me a week ago? There's a God in heaven. He says, this is when my son's going to be crucified. He said, and this is what Jesus said to him. He said, hey boys, this is your hour. Now you listen to me. Just as God is working a plan, Satan is working a plan. And it was not God's will for Judas and these Roman soldiers to be on the wrong team. But here's the truth for you tonight. We all get our hour. We all get our time. And just as God recruits willing soldiers to fight for right, Satan recruits willing soldiers also to carry out his plan. And it's been this way since creation, and it'll be this way until the Lord comes. Do you understand man has a free will? When they said of Jesus Christ, teach us to pray. There's a phrase in the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus says this, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, it would be a wonderful thing if God's will was being done on earth just like it is in heaven. Do you understand? No one is fighting the will of God in heaven. Everything in heaven is according to the will of God, but not everything on earth is according to the will of God. And it is not God's will that people join up on the devil's team, but people do it. It was not God's will for Judas to choose to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, but he chose to do so. You understand, what's God's will for everyone? Salvation. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I tell you, as God looks at the plan of eternity, it's His will that every person, whoever was born on this earth, had their heart beat, took a breath of air, that they be born again. And then that for the rest of their days, they become conformed to the image of His Son. Until one day, we see Him face to face, and we drop down this robe of flesh, and we'll be like Him when we see Him as He is. That is God's will for every person on this planet. Man, woman, boy, girl, black, white, Hispanic, America, Mexico, Russia, you name it, what's God's plan? Everybody gets saved. Everybody become more and more like Christ through sanctification, and one day be like Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, thankful for redemption. That's God's plan. But not everybody follows that plan. Judas did not follow that plan. And on this day, Jesus looked at him and said, Judas, you know what? Do what you're going to do. It's finally your time. If you're going to arrest me, do what you're going to do. And can I say this to you? It was not Judas's hour when the Satan was looking for a boy to kill his own brother. That was way back in the beginning. Can I tell you, that was Cain's hour. It was not Judas's hour when Satan recruited some sodomites to beat down the door of Lot. Oh no, Judas wasn't even there. It was not Judas's hour when Satan recruited a Pharaoh to enslave the Israelites. No, it wasn't his hour yet, it wasn't his time, but all of that happened. It was not Judas's hour when Satan found a woman to steal the strength of the man of God. No, that was Delilah's hour. That was her time, and she did what she wanted to. When Satan was looking for a friend to help Jonadab violate his own sister, can I tell you, to help Amnon violate his sister, hey, that was Jonadab's hour. That was not Judas's hour. That was not Judas's hour. Hey, when Satan was looking for two guys to bother Nehemiah while he's trying to build the wall, it was Sanballat and Tobiah's hour. And they chose to use their hour to serve Satan. And everybody has that choice. Hey, when the devil was looking for a king to threaten those three Hebrew boys and throw them in a fiery furnace, it was not Judas's hour. No, it was Nebuchadnezzar's hour. That was his time to do with his life as he would. When it was time for a king to come and kill all the little Jewish baby boys in Israel, guess what? It was Herod's hour. Not Judas's hour. But Judas's hour came. You see, the devil used other willing participants for those 4,000 years. But finally it came to the place where that bruising that you read about in Genesis chapter 3 would take place. It's all planned out, listen to me. And God says, you know what? There's going to be someone that betrays my son. That ain't my will, but that's what he's going to do. And it was Judas's hour there in that garden. The devil recruits. And can I say this? Judas got the job done for Satan. Oh yeah, he did. He met with the soldiers. He agreed upon a price. 30 pieces of silver. He got a plan. Hey, it's the one whom I kiss. Here's the time. Here's the place. This is what we're going to do with our hour. And he got the job done. Listen to me. God has a plan for every man. Every man. Nobody is born to be on the devil's team. But we're in a battle. Brother Kenny said it right before the sermon. The devil's after your life. Ephesians chapter 6. Spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Listen to me. It is real. Young people, listen to me. From the front of this room to the back of this room, the right side to the left side, listen to me. It is real. You have been plugged into history for such a time as this, and the devil wants to wreck your life. We're in a battle. God has inserted you into history. Exactly where He wants you, and exactly where He needs you to be. God looked at time, all of it, and He's working a plan. We have church calendars. This event right here was on our church calendar and has been for a year. And finally, the hour came. And here we sit on Thursday night of youth conference. There was a plan. God has a plan for you. And young people, listen to me. When God needed a man to build a boat, it wasn't your hour. Do you hear me? It wasn't your hour. But it was a real man's hour. And his name was Noah. When God needed a man to offer up his own son to be a picture of one day the Lord Jesus Christ being offered for us, Isaac to be offered there, guess what? Wasn't your hour. Wasn't your hour. Brother Ryan, wasn't your hour. Brother Fisher, wasn't your hour. Wasn't my hour. Hey, it was Abraham's hour. When God needed a young man to do right, even though his brother sold him, and be exalted second to Pharaoh, to help get his children there who had been down there in Egypt and to deliver them and to save them and to work that whole plan. Listen to me, it was Joseph's hour. When God needed a man to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, it was Moses' hour. Hey, we weren't even on the scene yet. But look at me, it's the same plan God is working. Same exact plan. When God needed two men to go in and spy out the land, guess what? Wasn't your hour? Joshua and Caleb's hour. Have faith in God, we can do it. God needed a young giant killer. Hey, wasn't Mike's hour? It was David's hour. And he took down Goliath. Hey, when God needed a little young lady to have courage to go before the king and save her people. Young lady, listen to me. Wasn't your time. Wasn't your hour. No, it was Esther's hour. And all of these chose to use their hour for God, to use their time for God, to do His will. When God said, I need a special young lady who's going to have to go through a lot because she's going to carry my son, the Christ child. Hey, that was 2,000 years ago, girls. That wasn't your hour. That was a real young lady named Mary. And she said, I'll give you my hour. I'll give you my hour. I'll give you my hour. Can I say this? It's 2017. It's 2017. And the same exact plan that God has been looking at from the beginning of time is still marching on. It's still, in our day, we would say the pages are turning, and here we are to 2017, watch me, and God has put you in, right here, right now, for such a time as this. We're not alive today by chance. Can I tell you, I'm preaching tonight, with all humility, I say this, because it's my hour. Brother Kenny's pastor in this church. Preacher, your pastor in your church. You weren't doing it 100 years ago. Wasn't your hour. But it's your hour now. Youth pastor, it's your hour. Teenager, it's your hour. Hey, this is all part of God's plan. Can I say this? The devil is still inserting his willing servants. He's still recruiting. You understand that? Hey, Katy Perry's getting the job done for the wrong team. But she's using her hour to the fullest. And can I say this to you? Do you understand? We're supposed to be listening to Katy Perry and Beyonce. And these are, do you understand? We're supposed to be listening to them. We're supposed to be listening to them sing, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine." We're supposed to be listening to them sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Absolutely. God gave them those gifts and talents. And He's not willing that they perish. But they had a decision to make. And they said, we're going to use our voice, we're going to use our talent, we're going to use our hour for the wrong team and pull young people in the wrong direction. Hey, and they're getting it done. The internet perverts are using their hour well. Howard Stern is using his hour well. Hey, Justin Bieber's using his hour well. And you could go on and on and on about these people that go, hey, guess what? 2017, it's our time. You serving God? Absolutely not. We're using our hour for ourselves. They may not know it, but they're being used to the devil. And they're getting the job done. They're zealous. They're pumped up. They're putting their all into their hour. God's put you into history. He has waited, listen to me, and you're important. You're important. Jeremiah, God said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. 1,000 years go by, time for Joel Patterson to be born, not yet. 2,000 years, time for Joel yet? Not yet. 3,000 years, God, time for Joel yet? Nope. 4,000 years, time for Joel? Not yet. 5,000 years, time for Joel to be born yet? Not yet. Hey God, 6,000 years, it's 2,000. Time for Joel to be born? It's time. It's your hour. Got some choices to make. You going to accept me number one? That's the first step. After that, you going to spend your hour for me? He's waited 6,000 years and he's plugged you in. What will you do with your hour? Your hour is precious. It's precious. And the goal of the devil is this. For you not to do with your hour what God wants you to do. That's it. You say, what's Satan's plan for every one of these young people? Do not follow God's plan. Don't follow it. And that's what he's trying to get your hour from you. We were at a camp a while back. Young man named Renal happens to be a black young man. Very talented when it comes to tricks, magic, illusions, all this stuff. Got saved through the bus ministry, Faith Baptist Church, Fairless Hills. We were at camp. Service ended. Renault came up to me and he's doing this trick with these quarters. And he's putting them in his hands and then pulling them out of my ear and doing all. I'm like, bro, how you do this stuff? And when I say he's good, like real good. So we talk for a minute and this is what he says. He says, hey, I'm going to get your brother. I said, what are you going to do to him? He's like, I'm going to get his watch right off his arm. I'm like, how are you going to get his watch, man? He's like, watch me. I said, all right. That's Renal. I'm like, all right. So he goes over and I watch him. He said, this is what he said to me. He's like, first I'm going to tell him I'm going to go to this college that I know he doesn't want me to go to. He's like, I'm not. I'm just going to tell him that just to get him ticked off. Then after that, I'm going to do a trick or two with him. And then I'm going to teach him how to do the trick. And I'm going to take his watch. So we're standing back, a few of us. We're like, well, let's see if he can get him. Renal goes over. Sure enough, they have this conversation. And my brother starts. That's the college part of it. You know. That ends. I see Renal. He's got this trick quarter going hand to hand. And he says, well, child, he said, you could do it too. Let me show you. So he puts the quarter in Brother Charlie's hand, and then he's holding both of his wrists. And he starts he's showing Brother Charlie how to do this little trick. And he's working that watch right off his arm. So I watch it, man. Renault's going through it. My brother's just like, oh, dude, this is pretty cool. You know, next thing I know, Renault's hand slips right behind his back, and he just goes on, finishes it. Watch is off. He got it from him. And I'm telling you, he's good. You say, no, it never happened. This guy's good. Renault turns around. He had actually brought a watch case with him, one of them flip boxes. Puts the watch in there. Hey, BC, call Brother Chuck. Come here. He hands it to him and just walks away. My brother's like, what is this? Opens it up, and it's his watch. He's like, you guys want to? And we're just laughing. I'm like, he suckered you. He got you. He got that watch right off of you. Hey, look at me. The devil. The serpent. The sly one. He wants you at the end of your life to be going, how'd this happen? How'd you get me? I didn't even know it happened. Young people, listen to me. I believe the devil's first choice is this. He's going to try to get you to wreck your hour. James chapter 1 and verse 15. The Bible says this. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth, say it. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth what? Death. James 1 15. Look at it. We're tempted. We're drawn away. Lust. We've involved in sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Say, Brother Mike, how's the devil going to get my hour? Number one, he's going to try to get you to wreck. Try to get you to wreck. Sin will wreck your life. Y'all hear me? Eyes up here, look at me, watch. Sin will wreck your life. It'll ruin your hour. It'll wreck your hour. I'm not a NASCAR fan. The further south you go, the more they love it. If you love it, God bless you. How many of you love NASCAR? There's something wrong. Good. I like the odds. All right. The rest of you have a brain. All right. How many of you say the only good thing? You're sitting there for hours and they stand. I hear it's a rush. I've not been. Maybe I'll have to try it. You go to Bristol, you go wherever, Dover. They're going to stand for hours. Whoom. 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 And I'm just like, are we done yet? You know the best thing that happens at a race is what? A crash. A wreck. All of a sudden, cars are flipping, tires are flying, things are exploding. And I'm like, now that's something worth watching. The wreck. Other than that, man, hey, it's boring. That is the only good part of it. Hey, let me say this. The devil feels the same way about lives. He sits there and he just wants to see one wrecked after the other, and he goes, ah, I'm winning! I got him! Hey, look at this! And one day they'll realize what I took from them. Hey, your hour's precious, but the devil's gonna try to wreck you. We mentioned him. Hey, Cain totaled his life. Totaled. You know what it means to total. The wreck is so bad, man, it's gone. Samson! Totaled. Power of God's on him. Power of God's on him. Spirit of God came upon him. Spirit of God. And Samson wrecked because of a woman. Lot, blessed of God, running around with Uncle Abraham. Life is good. Be careful. Your adversary, as a roaring lion, he wants to devour you and wreck your life with sin. God has not waited 6,000 years, young lady, listen to me, to plug you into His plan with a particular job that He has for you. Listen, and it is just this real. Every girl in here, listen to me, God has a plan for you. A detailed plan for you. Where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to do in God's big picture of eternity. He's got a plan. And He has not waited 6,000 years to have you wrecked. No, sir. Young man, listen to me. To have you believe the lie of the devil that sin is better than godliness and have your life wrecked. God waited 1,000 years. Time yet, Joel. 2,000. Nope. 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000. Yes, it is. And the devil's like, I'm going to blow them up. I'm going to wreck their life. And sin will do it. Sin will do it. Holy Spirit of God, right now, listen to me. What's in your life that ought not to be there? Pride? Stuff we're doing on the internet? Guy-girl stuff? Music on the iPad? You know what he's trying to do? Hey, he's trying to wreck your life. And you listen to me, it will wreck your life. It'll wreck your hour. It'll blow you up. And an almighty God who loved you enough to send his son has waited for this time. It's your hour. He's plugged you in. Watch. And many wreck. Wreck. And their life is ruined by sin. And they never do what God planned for them. It's just a hole. Just a gap. Had a plan. But they wrecked. You listen to me. How are things with mom and dad? Honor thy father and mother. If you don't, you understand that's a sin. That it may go well with thee. It ain't going to go well if things ain't right with mom and dad. You're not right with mom and dad, you're not right with God. Hello, Mr. Youth Pastor. Hello, how are you? And you just dishonored your parents? I want to hear it. Go get right with your parents. What you are at home is what you are. I don't care if you sing in the choir, sing in... Listen to me. You get that right. You live clean. You watch good stuff. You listen to good stuff. Devil's going to try to wreck you. He's going to try to wreck you. Let me say this. He'll also try to get you to waste your hour. Number one, we said he'll try to get you to wreck. But number two, waste your hour. Matthew chapter 25. You know the story of the talents? Matthew chapter 25. Verse number 14. Kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country, called for his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. To another 2, and to another 1. And to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Can I say this? God has given all of you gifts. Hey, we all have different gifts, but all of you have gifts. Beautiful, special earlier. You may not have the voice. That's no problem. You have another gift that God gave you. You have another talent that God gave you. Different than what we're talking about here, but the same. God has given you gifts, talents, abilities. And he plugged you in at a particular time. And those gifts are to help you live out his plan for your life and impact other people. But watch. They had these gifts. And notice what happens here. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same. And made other 5 talents. The 5 became 10. And likewise, he that had received 2, verse 17, he also gained 2. So the 2 became 4. But he that had received the 1 talent went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. You know what he did? He wasted what God had given him. Can I say this? Don't waste your hour. Don't waste your hour. Do not spend your hour on things that do not matter. Do you hear me? This is what matters in this world. God and people. Nothing else matters? Not really. God and people. I'm not sure. I want to think about that one. Go ahead. But let me say this. Die. And you'll find out what I'm saying is true. Just die. And you're going to find out real quickly what mattered in life. God and your relationship with him. And how you impacted people. That's what matters. And God has plugged you in to this hour, for this time in 2017, but the devil's going to do his best to get you to waste your hour. You say, Mike, what would we waste our hour on? Things that don't matter. I love sports. But you listen to me. God did not wait. Come on now. 1,000 years, time to plug Mike in? No. 2,000, no. 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, time to plug Mike in? That's the time. God, what do you got Mike down there doing? Well, he's going to spend his days taking a stick and hitting some yarn that's rolled up with some leather wrapped around it and running around to 3 squares and then coming home and wound up where he started to put a number up on a board and say he won. That's what I've waited for 6,000 years just so he could do that. No, he didn't. But do you know how many of God's talented children that he waited? Listen to me. God's not a joke. He waited 6,000 years. And just like he plugged in all of those people in the Bible, he plugged you in. And the devil says, hey, this is the good life. Hit a ball, run around a triangle, a diamond, and they're all going to say you're great. And the devil's gotten a lot of young people. Throw a round, rubber, leather-covered, orange ball through a steel, orange circle. And listen to people yell, you're great, and waste your hour. You say, we can't play sports. No, you can play sports. And you listen to me. Sports are worth a few seconds of your hour, but they're not worth your hour. It's not what you live for. It's not what you live for. When I was young, I enjoyed playing baseball. It's probably my best sport. I love football, and I am not the greatest athlete in the world. I'm not one of these guys. The older I get, the better I was. When I was young, I was 10. And me and one other kid in a pretty big town, tryouts, and they bumped us when we were 10 to play in the 12-year-old league. So we skipped 10-year-old league, skipped 11-year-old league. Only two of us were playing in the 12-year-old league. I struck out like every time. I told my coach, I'm like, this was a bad mistake. He's like, hang in there, because they're humming it. We had kids pitching that went into the NHL and all that. These kids are just winging it at me. And I was a little kid. But I'm like, I can't even catch up with these. He's like, stick with it. Anyway, got better that year. When I was 11, made the 12-year-old all-star team. That's impressive. All right. Made the 11-year-old all-star team and the 12-year-old all-star team. And we play in all those tournaments trying to get to Williamsport, to the Little League World Series that you see on ESPN. That was exciting. We did really well. Well, I was 11 years old. Our church went to a youth conference out in Chicago. But I had an all-star game, Brother Kenny. My dad's like, you want to play in your game or you want to go to the youth conference? I said, both. He's like, how are we going to do that? I'm like, I don't know. How can I get there? He said, this is what we'll do. He said, you play in your all-star game. We're trying to get to Williamsport. He said, then I'll put you on a plane tomorrow morning and I'll fly you to Chicago. I'm 11. I thought, I am the man. I'm playing in my all-star game, special hat, special uniform and all. Don't you know, in that game, hey, I can't hit the ball far to save my life. But I was the leadoff hitter every year. Contact, my 12-year-old year, I struck out one time, and it was my last at-bat of the year. What a bummer. And the kid was not even a good pitcher. I think I just lost concentration. But I could at least connect, and I could run fast. And I wanted to look cool, so I always wore my hat like back on my head a little bit, not pulled down. So it would always fall off when I stole from first to second, and I'd have to run back and get it. It's just stupid, but that was the way it goes. Well, anyway, my last at-bat that night, and I was like 2 for 3 at the time. And this guy, this pitcher, man, he throws a high and outside pitch, which you're not supposed to swing at. It was eyes high and outside. And I'm a righty, but I swung, and I was late, and it just went bink. You hear the metal bats. It went to right field. Going. I'd never done it before in my life. Boom. Home run. We win the game. Next morning, We're going to the airport. I'm going to fly to Chicago. We got a newspaper. That's something, it's paper with black words on it where you used to. They don't have them anymore. We got a newspaper on the way. Guess what? Guess who's in it? Pictures, write up, and it said just like this. Voorhees was our team. Voorhees Little League wins the game on a home run by Matt Clark. They got my name wrong. I'm Mike. I'm not Matt. But there it was. Hey, I thought I was big stuff, Brother Kenny. Flying across the nation, hitting home runs. Watch me, Mike. That's not what your hour was about. It's not what... Hey, what happened at that youth conference was far greater than a baseball game ever could be. We got football stories. You've got yours. I've got mine. Fun times. Junior in college, sophomore in college, we were playing the juniors, football. Game was over. We're down 7 points. When you're up 7 with the ball, run. Don't throw a pass. Some of you girls don't know what I'm talking about. The guys know what I'm talking about. You're up 7. There's 15 seconds left in the game. Run the clock out. We're the sophomores. They were the juniors. Just a Bible college, but still cool. Drops back. Phil Santaguita, cocky guys. You're supposed to just run the clock out. Instead, he drops back. They're going to throw a bomb on us. He looks, he's covered. He decides to turn and throw screen pass to his running back. I was linebacker. Stuffed up in that hole. Boom, in stride, gone. Tie game. We're down 1. We went for 2. We got it. Playoffs. People nuts. We rush into the school hallways. The cheerleaders are there. Everybody's there. Yeah. And it's echoing. We're running by all these guys. Good game. They were jerks. They should have never thrown that pass. Never. Never. Hey! Watch me. It's not what your hour's about. Seconds. Maybe a minute. But God's plan is bigger than that. I parked tonight. There was a nice vehicle in the spot that said pastor. Can I say this? We're all out of our minds. Out of our cotton-picking minds. If you think that God waited 6,000 years to plug that man or you or me into this world to have a shiny, painted piece of metal that we polish that takes us from point A to point B. I'm telling you how people waste their hour. And then you're really special if the area inside the rubber, there's 4 rubber things on those cars. If the area inside the rubber is fancy, whew, you've arrived. And we polish that up. And we polish it all up. And we get down the road. Listen to me. Listen. Hey, what? Hey, this is what young people live for. This is what young people give their whole life to. I've got to have this job so that I can do this, so that I can do that, so that I can have this over here. And God said I waited 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years. I've got a big job for her. I've got a big job for him. What's he doing down there, God? Putting some polish on the metal thing that takes him from place to place. What you doing now? He's over here working to get green stuff so that he can get a better one so that, and that's it? I'm not against cars. I'm not against sports. But you listen to me. A piece of clothing with a horse, with someone with a polo stick. You've never played polo in your life. Hey, Kate Spade. Woo, I've arrived. Can't go to youth group. Can't go soul winning. Can't work a bus route. I've got to get money so that I have a Kate Spade purse so that everybody thinks I'm great. And God, hey, God in heaven says, are you out of your mind? I've waited for 6,000 years for you to come. I've got a job for you. And that's what you're wasting your life on. I'm not against you. I hope you all get Kate Spade purses and nice cars and hit home runs. But you listen to me, that's not what our hour's about. It's not what our hour's about. And the devil doesn't care. Watch me. Don't do drugs. Don't go drink alcohol. Waste away your hour and he wins. I wasn't bad. I even went to church, but did you do with your hour what God created you to do? Do not waste your hour. The best thing sports ever did for me, listen to me, with my hour was when I was in Williamsport as a 12-year-old. Staying in a hotel room, and my teammate, Dennis, was there. We went to a Pizza Hut before the game, and I said, hey, you going to heaven? He said, I'm Catholic. I said, Dennis, I didn't ask you that. You going to heaven? I don't know. Can I show you? Fine with me. Open up the Bible in a Pizza Hut as a 12-year-old. We've all sinned. Wages of sin is death, Dennis. Red hair, Dennis Rosenbaum. A few minutes later, bows his head and prays and accepts Jesus Christ as the Savior. Hey, that's why Jesus Christ waited all this time to plug me in to tell Dennis about Jesus Christ. A year ago, he walked into our church. He's the fire inspector. I said, how you doing? I said, you remember we went to Williamsport? He said, yeah. He said, I remember Pizza Hut too. I said, thank God. Thank God for that. That's what it's about. Hey, don't waste your hour. I'll move quickly. Hear me. Hey, ready? Listen. Watch this. Devil try to get you to wreck your hour. Try to get you to waste your hour. Don't you do it. Play the games, but don't live for the games. Basketball is life. It's what the Nike shirts tell us. Football is life. What? Sad reality for much of America. Say, no sir, no sir, no sir, it profits little, I'll do some of it. But that's not what my hour is about, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. Not going to waste it. Can I say this? Don't worry away your hour. For time's sake, don't even turn there, Exodus chapter 3. Can I say this? Israel's greatest leader almost never even got off the ground. Mr. Moses. I've got a plan, Moses, I've waited to plug you in. And I've had you born 2,500 years into this thing. For us, it's been 6,000. 2,500 years I've waited and I've plugged you in. You're going to be my God, my guy to lead my children out of Egypt. And he goes, no. No, I can't do that. Yes, you can. That's why I've waited. That's why I've plugged you. No, I'm afraid. No, 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 no. I've plugged you in. Moses, it's your hour. I don't speak well. And he kept telling God why he couldn't fulfill that hour. His time. I'm not your guy. God says, yes, you can. And listen to me. Yes, he did. And God helped him. Hey, if it's just, I'll be insignificant. I don't really matter. No, you listen to me. God has a plan for you. Some of you sitting here, I promise you, God plugged you in to sing songs that you're not singing. Because you're worrying away your hour. I don't think I could do it. God has plugged some of you in. You're supposed to be preaching sermons. But you're worrying away your hour. No, 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 no. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't. I'm fearful. No, that scares me. And you're worrying away your hour. Some of you are supposed to be school teachers, Christian school teachers, soul winners. Hey, missionaries. And God says, I plugged her in to go to this mission field. No, 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 no. That'd be too scary. I plugged him in to go to that. I don't think I could do it. He's supposed to be a pastor. She's supposed to be a pastor. And people worry. What about my needs? Am I going to live? Am I going to have food on my table? Can I do it? Will I have enough comfort? Will I? Stop worrying about all of that. God will supply your needs. Do what God created you to do. Do not worry away your hour. Stretch yourself. Stretch yourself. Preacher, I can't. Youth pastor, I can't. Teacher, I can't. Listen to me, I had to make this agreement with me and God. I had to make this agreement honest to God. I said, God, you know how fearful I am. I don't like to talk in front of people. I will feel much better driving home than I did driving here. Because this is over. That doesn't mean I don't love you. I'm telling you how Mike is wired. I shake hands. I've been singing for a long time. Shake hands with people before my special, and they usually release and then go, what's wrong with you? Your hand's like an ice cube. I said, I got to sing in a few minutes. Why? Still nervous. Still scared. I had to get to the place of the young man where I said, this, God, I will never say no to an opportunity because of my fear. I had to do it. I had to do it. I said, God, I will never say no to an opportunity because of my fear. Because I'm telling you, I would be the one. I know how I'm. No. You're up there. I'm telling you, I know me. And I lived it. I would worry away my hour. As a young man, I remember Jason Thompson at camp. Come on, Mike, sing with me. Oh, man, I can't do that. I can't. And he basically broke my arm. And he'd get me up there to sing. And there's a lesson in that, too. You encourage. You lead. You do right. Hey, boys, we ain't eating this diet, said Daniel. Let's do the right thing. All of a sudden, one turns into four. All right, we'll have courage with you, Daniel. Hey, don't worry away your hour. God made you for the job that He gives you opportunity to do. Not just a cliche or a reference on a basketball shoe or a t-shirt. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's real. It's your hour and you could do it. You could do it. Don't worry away your hour. Can I say this? Don't wait your hour away. Don't wait your hour away. Acts chapter 24, you know the story of Felix? Paul's preaching. Paul's preaching to Felix in Acts chapter 24. It's an easy reference because it's 24:24. And he's talking to Felix about getting saved. And can I say it was Paul's hour to witness to the governor? That's why God plugged him in. And in 24:24 of Acts, and as he reasoned the righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Talking about being saved. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know what Felix said? Hey, I'm not going to tell Paul no. I'll do it, but just not now. And at a youth conference like this, this is how it goes. Hey, I don't want to waste my hour. I don't want to wreck my hour. I don't want to worry away my hour. And I know I'm not doing some of the things that I ought to do, maybe because of fear. And watch this. I will do it. One day. We feel better when we don't say no, when we just somehow wait. God, you're right, and I will do it. You listen to me. Don't wait. Do not wait. Because you know what today turns into? Tomorrow. And next week. And next month. And you look back. Y'all listen to me. Hey, look here. Look here. Watch. And all of a sudden, it's gone. And you realize, Satan's pretty smart. For 6,000 years, his whole task has been ruining lives. You ain't wiser or stronger in your own strength in the 16, 17, 18 years that you've lived. 6,000 years experience wrecking lives. If he'll just say, I'll do it later. I'll say amen next year. I'll preach in 2 years. I'll sing when I get to ninth grade. Watch me. Hey, it never comes. It never comes. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Don't deceive yourself by thinking I'm okay because I'm not telling God no. I'm just telling God not right now. Don't wait your hour away. Here he is and he says, hey, almost at a more convenient time. I'll do it. I'll do it. Just not now. Many of you read Carrie Schmidt's book on God's will for your life. What's the title of it? Discover Your Destiny. He gives a story in there of Don, the crossing guard. How many of you know the story? Brother Schmidt, Don says to Brother Carrie, he says, hey, can you come see? Don's a crossing guard, 70 years old, for schools. Can you come see me? I want to talk to you for a minute. Brother Schmidt says, sure. Brother Schmidt parks his car and walks out to the corner where Don stood. And Don looked at Brother Schmidt, just started weeping. Sometimes you're standing there and it's awkward. You don't even know what to do. Why is this guy crying? What just happened? That his wife died? His kids died? His son, what? Hey, Brother Don, what's wrong? What's wrong? And he's just weeping. He's weeping. He looks at Brother Schmidt. He reaches back, takes his wallet out. Takes a card out of his wallet and he hands it to Brother Carey. He says, look at that. And Brother Schmidt looks down at it. And it was a card that he was issued when he was ordained to preach the gospel. And Brother Schmidt's like, well, this is great. I mean, you were ordained to preach. And he looked at Brother Schmidt and he's trying to get himself together. And it's what he says. I never did it. I never did it. Brother Schmidt in his book, he says, I said, Don, and same thing you would do. But Don, you taught a Sunday school class. And Don, you've been a soul winner. And he's going, I never did it. And he's trying to list all the good things that I never did what God waited and plugged me in to do. And I'm 70. And watch, hey, he got it from me. I did some things, but I didn't do the thing that he put me here for. Hey, don't wait your hour away. Don't wait it away. We've heard of Paul. We've heard of Stephen. We've heard of Wycliffe. They're plugged in. On the timeline. Edwards. Sunday. Moody. Look at me, these are all real people. All real people we've heard about. And they get plugged in. Spurgeon. Roloff. Robertson. Baldwin. Shutt, Fisher, Beaumont, Green. Watch me. Plugged in. And we know some of these names. But I wonder this. Whose names should we know? That we've never even heard of. Because the devil got their hour. They wrecked. They wasted it. They worried it away. Or they just waited. Who should we know? Can I say this? God is coming back. Last verse and we're done. Hebrews chapter 9. Young people, I hope you'll understand this. You're not here by chance. You are part of the plan. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. We talked about talking about a God is a God of order. And everything happens at a time and for His purpose. And He's got a plan. Look at Hebrews 9, 27. And it is appointed unto men once to die. Girls, listen to me. You're going to die at a specific time. You don't know when your hour's over. We just had a man in our church in his 40s, and his hour ended. There are teenagers whose hour will end. Maybe you'll live to be an old person. Get all wrinkly and your teeth will fall out. I hope so. But can I say this? God will not be surprised when you die. It's appointed unto man once to die. I'm telling you, Brother Kenny was not surprised to walk in here at 7 o'clock tonight and find us in this auditorium. He designed the conference schedule. He knew where we would be, God willing, at what time. He orchestrated that. God, in the very same way, has been orchestrating throughout history. He has plugged you in and He knows when you're going to die. Now, let me ask you this. It's your hour. Do you know when you can get saved? When it's your hour. You couldn't have gotten saved, teenager, 20 years ago because you weren't here. And you're not going to get saved after your appointment comes and you're dead. You've got your time to accept Christ. Let me ask you this. Have you done that? This is what the devil will say. Wait. Worry. What will they think? You listen to me. This is the time you have. Today is the day of salvation. It's the only day you're promised. It's appointed on men once to die. We're all going to go. I hope I don't die on the way home. But I might. I don't know when my appointment is. I didn't know. I had nothing to do with where God plugged me in. But I was born in 1971. I'm getting old. Look at this. Appointed unto men once to die. And then notice this. But after this, the judgment. Do you understand that every young lady in this room is going to stand before God one day? Every young man in this room is going to stand before God. There are two judgments. The great white throne judgment, where those who do not accept Christ will be cast into hell. And the judgment seat of Christ. It's no joke. Y'all listen to me. You will stand before God. Thank God if you trusted Christ as your Savior during your hour. You're not going to the great white throne judgment to be cast into hell. Thank God for that. But you'll be there at the judgment seat of Christ. And you know what God's going to ask? You know what we're going to find out? What'd you do with your hour? What'd you do? What'd you do with your hour? I waited 6,000 years until it was the 2000s. And I plugged you in. I had you born. I put you in your town. I made you your color, your gender, gave you your talents. For a particular reason, to carry out my purpose, to do my will for you. I really plug. You're just as important as all these people in the Bible. Don't stand there and say, well, I had this friend who always tried to get me to listen to bad music and it ruined my hour. I had this boy and he was really cute and told me I was great. And I should have got away from him, but I didn't. And you wreck your hour. No, God, I'm not going to hear well done. No, God, I don't have crowns to cast at your feet. No, God, I basically just ruined my hour. Well, God, I was good. You part of the talent and the things you gave me. I was good at sports or at making money. Or God, wait, if you put me down there when there were only chariots and donkeys, but we had shiny metal to take us from place to place. And so my pastor wanted me involved in ministry, but I had to work a job so that my metal that's shiny with the rubber, with the fancy inside the rubber, was better than some other person's because then I was cool during my... Why'd you put me in then? It was too hard, and so that's what I lived for. We're going to go, it's just stupid. It's just stupid. The clothes back then, you see there was an MK on some bags that we put our stuff in. And I had to have that. 6,000 years, God. I know you waited, but that was just... And so that's what... And we waste our hour. We waste it. God, I know you plugged me in and I know you gave me talents and ability. I know you said you'd help me with everything, but I was so scared. I just couldn't do what you wanted me to do. You listen to me. Watch me. Hey. If you're a child of God, if you're bought with the price, you're going to stand before Him one day. Or will it be, God, I always planned on doing it. I planned on it. I had no idea that the days were clicking by. And my life, you told me it was like a vapor. But man, I just waited away. And God, while I was there, I didn't even realize it. While I was doing other things, the devil was getting my hour from me. And God, I'm sorry. Saved yet so as by fire. Thanks for plugging me in and thanks for dying for me, but I'm sorry I didn't do anything. I don't want that to be my story. Who else should we know? And by the way, the goal is not that people know your name. But you listen to me, young man. Hey, God needs you. You hear preachers say, God doesn't need you. God needs you. Part of His plan is you. Now, girls, hey, God needs you. God wants you. God has put you here. Oh, I pray that there's some people here and say, God is going to get my all. My all. I will spend and gladly be spent for God, whatever His will is. And can I say this? There is nothing greater in the world than doing the will of God. Amen. Nothing greater. The greatest life in the world. Hollywood, the rock culture, they're on drugs. They're out of their mind. They can't find peace. Live for God with your hour. Live for Him. If you're not saved, get saved. If you are, don't wreck. Don't waste. Don't worry. And don't wait your hour away. It's your time. It's my time. Let's live for God. No promise of tomorrow. We win when we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we love You. Thanks for having a plan, God. God, thanks for including us in Your plan. Lord, the devil has one goal. For these young people to do whatever they want and to not follow Your plan. But Lord, You've waited 6,000 years in history. And the devil's going to fight hard to wreck these young people. To have them live for stupid things that don't matter. To tell them they're too weak to do it. Or to tell them just put it off till tomorrow. God, help. Help. Help us to surrender again, fresh and anew, to Your will. With heads bowed and eyes closed, just keep praying if you're praying. I wonder if there's anybody here at all and you'd lift your hand and say, Mike, I don't know that I'm a child of God. It's my hour. I'm here. And I'm not sure that I've been born again. I don't want to go to that great white throne judgment and be cast into hell. I want Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that's where it all starts and I need to be saved. Would you just lift your hand? Just quietly. No one's looking around the room. Pray for me, Brother Mike. I need to be saved. God's been convicting me. I'm not going to worry about what people think. I'm not going to wait. I mean, if you're praying, just say, I got some things in my life that I've been doing. And I know it's going to wreck my hour, but with God's help, that's going to change. Would you lift your hand if the Lord, Holy Spirit, spoke to something in your heart? Hands throughout the room. How many of you say, Mike, I'm not doing a ton of really, really bad things, but I know I'm wasting more of my hour than I ought to on things that don't matter, and God spoke to me. Would you lift your hand if that's you in the room, and my hand is up with yours? Stuff that's not bad, but stuff that doesn't really matter if it's not God and people, and I need to take care of that. Minimize that and emphasize God. How many of you say, Mike, there's some fear and worry in me that at times has been stopping me from doing with my hour what God wants me to do. And with God's help, I'm not going to let fear stop me anymore. I'm not going to worry away my hour. I'm going to ask God for His strength. Would you lift your hand if that's you? There you go, hands all over. I don't want to worry it away. And then maybe there's something you know you ought to do now. Soul wins, sing, preach. It might just be saying amen in a sermon. And you're not going to wait. Don't wait. Do it today. Do it today. Your life is precious. The devil's going to work every day to steal your hour.
Let's stand together.